16th chapter of Acts. I just might read a little, don't know, but had just a few thoughts. I'd like to say I don't make an excuse for the scriptures, make an excuse for nothing else, but I always just like to be as honest as I can. They say just sometimes you wake up with a scripture on your heart, and I hadn't studied this for a month. I hadn't done anything to the sort. I ain't going to stand here and lie to you, but boy, I woke up this morning with this heavy on my heart and just felt like maybe we might need to read it, thought on it a little all day today. And I know we read over in maybe the 17th chapter of Acts the other day, but this scripture, just some thoughts on it, just kept a rolling over in her heart all day today. Got home and tried to sit down and study a little bit and read over some things, but we'll just try to read it and follow the Lord tonight. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, I may just start in the very beginning of this. I'm just going to start over here in the first verse of this chapter. It said, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, and was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout..." If I say this wrong, I'm sorry. Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Misra, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" And I'm just going to stop just for a second right there. This is one of the verses that's just kind of standing out to me. As I thought on these things, you know, it's talking about the church here being getting established in faith and all these different things. And just some things that kind of stood out to me. It comes down here and it said there in that sixth verse it talked about, it said, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." That just grabbed me today. You know, when the Lord forbids you to do something, even there's times when He don't want you to preach. There's places when He won't give you liberty to preach. And that really stood out to me. I reckon I've probably read that several times and never really grabbed a hold of that. But there's times when the Lord ain't going to allow you to preach. And that's just think about the people that was maybe there in that time that needed to be saved, that needed to hear the gospel. But it wasn't the will of the Holy Ghost that they hear it at that time. And we've got lost people today in this world that needs to be saved. But there's only a certain time when the Lord will let them hear the gospel. It has to be when the Holy Ghost is moving. And, you know, a lot of people are going around, and like I say, this is not exactly where our thoughts were in all this, but I want to touch on it. There's a lot of people are going around, and they're asking people, do you believe in the Lord? And yes, I believe in the Lord. Do you want to go to hell? No, I don't want to go to hell. Or do you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. We'll repeat this right here, and you're saved. There's people going around doing that right there, and they're giving out a false sense of security to people that's dying and going to hell. If the Holy Ghost ain't moving and the Holy Ghost ain't sending, people ain't getting saved. Paul had enough about him to understand the Holy Ghost was forbidding him to go. It wasn't the Lord's will that he go over there and preach at this time. So all of that, and then it comes on down, and it says, after they were come to Mysra, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysra, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And understand this here. And like I say, I'm gonna just try to mind the Lord tonight. Understand this. That Paul was trying to find the will of the Lord. Paul was trying to find where the Lord wanted him to go and the path he wanted him to take at the time. And through this, think about that vision that the Lord gave him. And I wonder how many times in our life have we saw the vision that God truly had for our life. He truly saw a man in Macedonia that was beckoning him to come and help us. How many of us is offering up prayers in our life right now and we're praying, Lord, help us. Lord, I've got things going on in my life, and then there could be lost people that's near and dear to us praying, Lord, help us. I know that a lot of times it's said the only prayer that the Lord will hear from a sinner is the prayer of salvation. Well, I wonder maybe if this man right here wasn't a lost man that Paul saw in his vision saying, come and help us. The Lord's got somewhere for all of us to be, and sometimes we're trying to go to the wrong place. If Paul would have turned and went to where God was forbidding him to go, then he wouldn't have been on the right path. But he saw the vision of God. We, everyone, need to get to where we're seeking the vision of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When we've got the vision, the Lord didn't give him a vision to go over there to Phrygia and the region of Galatia. He didn't give him the vision of that place. He was giving him a vision down in Macedonia. And a lot of times, that might have been an easier place for him to win over towards Galatia. They might have been nicer people over there. They may have not been anything, and I'm going to get around to where I'm going. They may have been people over there that would have just patted him on the back and said, everything's good, Paul. We're glad to have you. Come on in. The church is yours. Just stand and tell us, Paul, what you want to tell us. They might have loved him up over there, and they may have acted like they wanted to hear what he had to say. And then his life would have been a whole lot easier. Because the path he's getting to go, ready to go down, that the Lord's leading him on, is not a very fun path. But that's where the vision was, boys. You youngins and younger people, young adults in this church, don't always just look for the easy path in your life. Look for the path God's sending you down. We sat there the other day in the message, there's a broad way out there. And that path's easy. You can walk that thing, and I promise you, there's a ton of people out that's going to walk it with you. They'll look over and they'll pat you on the back. But I'm going to tell you what, if the Holy Ghost forbids you to walk that path, don't you know, listen to it. If something goes to knocking down in there and tell you to go, and it looks like it's going to be a hard place to go, go right on. If it's the Holy Ghost of God leading you and giving you a vision, that man, that vision that he saw, he didn't say, come help me. He said, come help us. Paul goes through this right here when he sees that vision. And he goes to walk in that path and he comes upon Lydia over there. Read this. I might read it on down here a minute. But he comes upon her, a woman that loved and accepted the Lord right there. He goes to walk in that path on down into one of the chief cities, one of the chief places of Macedonia over there. And as he's going, there's a woman over there like a sorcerer. She goes along and she makes game for some people in her soothsaying. And she goes to following Paul along, and all the way she's saying, this is the man of God, the one that preaches salvation, the one that's come to help us. And this woman is full of an evil spirit. And Paul finally gets agitated, I guess, in a way. But either way, he looks grieved, is, I believe, the way the Bible states it right there. He got grieved with her. She had followed him for a long way. And he turned around and he spoke. And that evil spirit was cast out of her the same hour. You want to know what happened? It's all good. The people over there didn't even mind that woman. See, there's people over there that got gain from her. They made money off of her. They used her for their own gain. And everything was all right. She could bother Paul all she wanted to. She could say what she wanted to. But then when the Lord moved into her life and the evil spirit was gone and she was no more useful to them to give them gain, hey, they did not only go after her, they went after Paul. The world today ain't got no problem with the church until it gets into what they want to gain. The world today ain't got no problem with you, Darrell. If you start messing with what they want to do, and there's a problem coming. These men, buddy, they're so fed up with Paul and the preaching of the gospel. David Woody, the Bible said they got him and they drew him under the magistrate. They took him up before the law over there. And said, we ain't going to tolerate the words that this man's saying and the things he's doing. It got into their pocketbook and it got into their profit. It's like I said, a lot of people ain't going to have no problem with the church if we sit down, be quiet, and go along with whatever's going on in the world. If you stand against sin, you see them old evil spirits in people's lives, you see sin raging in their life, and you preach against that, they're going to hate you. And they're going to drag us up before the magistrate. They didn't want rid of him, Darrell. They didn't want him down there in Macedonia. But you know why he was there? Because there's a vision coming to him of God. There's a man down there in Macedonia. He said, come help us. Now I hope you understand where I'm going with this tonight. There's easy ways to walk, Lord. There's easy ways to walk, Matthew Peak. And you ain't never going to run into a lick of trouble. People will love you. You tell them what they want to hear, Matthew. You get behind a pulpit. You can have one of the biggest churches you want. You can have you a salary like I heard about the other day. $300,000. Man left his job over here at Dave Steele for a salary of $300,000 a year to be associate pastor somewhere. Expected in the office 4 times a week. You can find them jobs if you want them.
I'm going to tell you this much.
You better be careful if you're going into somewhere where God and the Holy Ghost forbid you to go. If you're following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, it might be leading you down a rough road somewhere. A lot of people wonder, why does this go on? Why does that go on? You don't know what happened to Paul when he followed God? He followed him down there to Macedonia. You know what they done? They dragged him before the magistrate. They stripped him down. And the Bible said, after many stripes,
but listen, I don't want to miss none of this. In that 10th verse, he said, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Assuredly, that means certainly. They didn't fake it out. They didn't argue with God. Are you sure? Immediately there. When God leads you somewhere, don't you worry what you've got to face. Don't you worry what's going to be in front of you. Just move immediately and you'll know it's God of certainty.
This gets on down in this. And after he had cast that evil spirit out of that woman right there, it said in the 19th verse, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. I'm going to tell you right now, I've heard on the radio, this is current events. And I'm not preaching current events, I'm just telling you what I hear. Man preaching up in Canada refused because of this stuff of going around to stop having church. He told them if they didn't want to come, they didn't have to come. But he was going to be standing there to preach if anybody needed to hear the gospel. Right up there in Canada, they took him and they threw him in jail at maximum security prison for standing to preach the gospel. You say, we're not going to face these things? We ain't far off, church. Darrell, it may not be something too much longer. They've been dragging us out here, Matthew. They've been dragging you before the magistrates, before the law, what's supposed to be the law in our land. Making accusations on you for preaching the truth. Don't let it surprise you, youngins. Don't you dare think because you face obstacles in your Christian life that God ain't leading you in that way. Paul's the example right here for us. Just because we hit a rough little patch in the road don't mean we're on the wrong trail. He got rough in Paul's life. He said, and the multitude rose up, together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely.
God, I hate so much crying about all the stripes they took. Because I'll read to you how that works out. I'll read to you how that works out. God had led them down there. The Holy Ghost took them. Now these evil men, because of their game, they drug them in there before the magistrate. These evil men stood by and watched as the magistrate took their clothes down on them and beat them with many stripes. Well, you might say, how could that be? If God let them down there, how could they face such a thing? They went on through this and they faced their stripes. And there was a jailer down there that got charged with the keeping and the overseeing of these men. I got to thinking as I got to seeing in this, that old jailer didn't even actually know what he was locking up in his prison. He was just going by what he was charged with, by the law of the land and by the magistrates of where he lived. Our lost people. Yes. The gospel gets delivered. It gets persecuted. And I'm going to tell you what, it gets cast into their hands. And they don't even realize what they're locking up down inside of them. See that old jailer right there? He knew about his job. He knew how to do it. He knew how to get rid of problems. He knew how to get rid of anything that was bothering people, that was breaking the law of man. Oh, I wish you could see this. This old world, our old flesh thinks it knows how to get rid of anything that bothers it. You just lock it up and it won't bother you no more. See, you'll read on and you'll find out there's already some prisoners down on the inside of that jail that man was in charge of. And you know what he done with these men when he was charged with their life? He took them right down on the inside and immediately he placed the fetters and the chains upon them and he locked them up by as deep in there as he could get them. And he wasn't worried about them getting out later.
Now he wasn't scared that Paul and Silas was going to come out of there.
Gina, he knew his jail. This man was the jailer. He overseen that place early. He knew how to lock somebody up, Lee, in the deepest, darkest place, and not only shut them in with the bars, but he knew how to slap the chains on them. I'm going to tell you something about our people. They think they know how to take the Word of God. They think they know how to take you and lock you out of their lives to where you can't bother them no more. This old jailer, he shut them men up down there as deep as he could. And he wasn't worried about nothing, man. This will be some hope to you, child of God, that's praying for you people. They got the Word locked up, Leo. Jeff got it locked down deep. Jamie's got it locked deep. Corbin's got it locked deep, Danielle. Danny's got it locked deep.
I can't get it inside this week.
That old jailer wasn't worried. You might look on their faces and they don't seem worried. You know what this man done? Darryl Woody, he went to sleep. That jailer was asleep. You think he was worried about what was locked up down in the prison? He was. He'd have never fell asleep. Our people has got the gospel locked up deep in their prison. And they think they got it out of the way. They think it ain't going to bother them, girl. It'll never get out of there and cause me no
Don't you worry about that family, Bobby.
They might look like they got him locked up. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, down in the deepest, darkest prison, that old jailer wouldn't worry about it.
There's something with going on down in there.
Well, Paul and Silas, they went to praising God and singing songs. Just keep praising God, church.
Yeah.
Just keep praising God. Them men had just got ripped, their clothes ran off of them, and beat with many stripes. Persecuted and ridiculed. Slammed down in a prison, the doors shut, and the shackles laid on.
How do you feel tonight? Huh?
You ever feel like that? You ever just feel like you're all shut up down in there? You know the Lord sees you on the way you're going. Assuredly. They said assuredly. With all certainty. They knew the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Hey! Child of God, there, no doubt you know the Spirit. It's not led you to pray for your people. It's not led you to testify to them. Don't back up. And instead of giving up and laying down in the prison and dying, they something about the Word of God. It just won't quit, I think. What you reckon that is? It's alive. It's got power. Why do you think Paul wasn't ashamed of it? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. You study, Lee, to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You get shut up in the prison of some of your people's lives. They shut you out, won't talk to you, won't see you, won't have nothing to do with you. Don't you worry. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take the time.
God called me to preach. You can call me crazy. You can call me a loon. Whatever you want to call me.
He called me to preach. And when God got to dealing with me, He showed me some lives. And I was just like Paul. I saw a vision in my life. And the Lord said, go this way. And help us. I saw elder people. I saw children right down to the youngest age in my vision. And I'm lying to you not. I've seen it just as plain as I'm looking at you tonight. He said, son, preach my word. He said, go, preach it unto them. Hey, I can hear people saying, help us. Hey, you want to know why Paul and Silas got locked up in jail, got beaten, battered, and still sung the praise of God? Because they was on a mission for God, and they had nothing to be ashamed of.
So many people, you don't understand what we're going through, preacher. You ain't never been where I've been. No, you ain't never been where I've been. God didn't send me down your road. He didn't send you down mine. But we've all got a cross to bear, don't we? We've all got a road to walk. And I promise you, it's an hour away. This ain't Broadway we're on. We're all walking it together.
Paul and Silas had a vision in their life. They weren't about to give up. Don't give up, church.
Keep your vision. Keep your vision tonight. I believe as they got down in there, they might have been singing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." They might have been singing, "My hope is in the blood." They might have been singing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." They'd sing a wretch like me. But you know what they was doing? It had more to it than anything. They was minding God. They wasn't sitting down there in self-pity. They was praising Him for where they was at. And a good song in the Holy Ghost would do a whole lot. They went to sing. Boy, before you know it, the doors flew open. The chains fell off. The earth went to quaking. And you know what that old jailer done? He woke up. Everything he thought he had hid away. Everything he thought he had locked up. Come alive down in his prison. I don't know what them other prisoners was in there for. I don't even want to start telling. But there was some other things that had been laid in his life to hide and to lock up. But when Paul and Silas got enough about them to go to singing and praising God, even them other things that's locked up down in there got late and got to seeing something was going on. You know what the door's done? It opened up to every one of them down in there. They may be some things locked up in our people's lives from years ago that they thought, and they're just harboring it down in there and keeping it down in there. And when God goes to opening the door, every bit of it will get unlocked. Oh, this is a good story. This is the good truth from the Word of God. This old jailer woke up late, you know what he done? He woke up scared to death. Weston, you know what he done? He woke up and he grabbed his sword. And he thought, surely, I'm just going to go ahead and end it right here. There's no more hope. I've done let everything get loose from where I was supposed to have been watching it, where I was supposed to be keeping it. You want to know what the devil uses on people sitting back in their pew? You don't want to act like that in front of nobody. You don't want them to see you letting God out in your life. And they'll sit right back and they keep it locked down. They keep it locked up. But boy, when the Holy Ghost gets the dealing, you know that first step they say after it, you don't remember nothing else? There's so many people sit back in a pew and they take their sword and they're ready to fall on it before they've come to an altar. They sit back, they're ready to die before they will come under the subjection to the will of God. But you know what? You know what God will do? What the Word of God will do before He lets you do that? Old Paul went to crying out, "Don't you worry! We're still right here." You know what that word will do? It won't leave you. It won't forsake you. That word went to crying out down in the prison. The doors was open and it was free again in that man's life.
This is good. The 27th verse. Well, I'm going to back up to 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, on awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I wondered when I got to read this, and I'm just gonna tell you what I was thinking. I wondered about that old prisoner.
Paul and Silas just saw the vision of a man. He's praying, come down and help us. I wondered if that old jailer, he wasn't happy with everything he was locking up in his life. He really wanted it free. He really wanted it loose. He really wanted it to be out there. And I wonder if maybe, and like I say, this the Word of God does not say this, but I got to thinking on it. I wonder if that man got to pray to God to see this man. Lord, I don't want to live the way I'm living anymore. I don't like having the truth locked up in my life and not being able to face it and see it do its good work. I wondered if that old jailer may not have been the one that was in the vision. I wondered if maybe when Paul and Silas passed by him, the God hadn't already done showed him this is where he was headed. When they went by, even though they was locked up down in there, I got to wondering if maybe that wasn't why they could sing so freely. Lord, we got right where you want us. That old man thought he had it all shut down in there. He had it under control. But he wasn't a bit more happy in his life. How do you know, preacher? For the Word of God. Because when Paul, he said, but Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That old fellow was glad to find them down there, wasn't he? That lost man, he's glad. He's glad when he finds the Word of God still with him, ain't he? But it didn't leave him. It said right here, it said, then he called for a light and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You reckon a man that wasn't happy to know that them men were still down there with him, he would have called for a light. He throwed him down in the deepest, darkest part of his life. Or the deepest, darkest part of the prison. But when he heard that voice calling down in that prison, saying it's still there, he got him a light. He sprang for it. He didn't just go mosey in there. He sprang. Hey, son, getting ready to spring in here. Yeah. I want you to see that. Hey, son, getting ready to spring. They call for the light. And they're going to spring. And they're going to have a fear on their life. And they're going to be a trembling. Just like I was when I got saved. I wanted so bad to know Jesus. But yet I locked him away for a long time. Didn't think I needed him, didn't think I wanted him. But I can remember as a little old boy, having all the things I'd heard, all that gospel I'd ever heard preached, I had it locked away down in a prison in my life. Hey, Lord, heard this little old boy's prayer in his life one day. I'd pray, Lord, I don't know how to get saved. I don't know how to free this in my life. Lord, I don't know how to let your word go. Lost man just knows how to be lost, don't he? All this man knew was to keep the prison. All he knew was to lock up what he was told to lock up. But he wasn't happy. That's all I knew. But at night I'd lay down and I'd get scared to death. And I'd cry out, Lord, I want to know what salvation is. I want to know what this is about. And here's no my testimony. Somewhere, there's a little man named Henry Rice got a vision from God. And he told him to come my way. And that night,
I had that man locked up for a lot of years in my life. And when I come down to death, I seen that the doors was open. And all I could see was still the darkness. It was down on the inside. But I seen God shook my life. My earth quaked. And I had fear on me. Undescribable. And all I could look and see the darkest places in my prison where I had shut up God. And I thought he's gone. All I can do is die. Our people's right there, church. They're right there. I hope you got the vision. I believe you do. Our people's right there. They're looking down into the dark prison right now. They think God ain't no words in there anymore. That he's fled and he's left them. Right in the middle of their deepest, darkest trouble in their life, this man knew he was getting ready to face death because that was his job, was to keep those things hidden and keep those things in prison. And he knew death was inevitable. And he thought, I'm just going to end it myself. Right when I thought God wasn't there no more, I laid there in that bed and I heard a cry. Don't you worry. I'm still here. Don't you fret yourself. Don't you do yourself no harm. And when I heard that cry, when I heard that voice, I knew it was tired, buddy. I called for the light and I sprang. What'd you do, preacher? I reached out and got a hold of faith. And I moved as quickly as I could to get down on the inner parts of the prison and see just what was down in there. I grabbed a hold of my faith and I believed in God. And down on the deepest, darkest parts of my prison, you know what I found? He said, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? When our people sees their self lost and they see that God is still there to deal with them, they're going to want to know, what must I do? That's how what I pray. Lord, I don't know what to do. But I followed you and I found you down in the deepest, darkest part of my life. And you're still there. What do I do? He said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And was baptized. And all, he was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. When Paul and Silas was set back, all the many stripes, man. Well, they cut deep and it hurt. They were sore. They was wore out. But they stayed with God. And even down on the deepest, darkest place, they rejoiced in the Lord and they praised him. Don't you know how good it felt, all them stripes? When that one that seen in that vision, he went to washing. Went to washing them stripes. I don't think they cared about one of them that took to get to where they was. When you see that object come up out of this altar, and the first thing it wants to do, Isaac's come around your neck. I don't know how many times my papa been on his knees for me. I don't know how many times he got discouraged. But I just hope it felt to him good when I grabbed him around the neck and said, I love you, Papa. Thank you for praying for me. Now, I'm not trying to get on grandmas and grandpas. I'm just telling you about a man that took some stripes on my back. I'm not trying to jerk a tear out over some family member. But there's some good people of God that's taking stripes in this world. Hey, for their lost people. They're cast down in prison. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day. Hey, if they stay true unto what they're praying for. Hey, that very one. Hey, that had put them down in jail. The very one that they had suffered stripes for will be washing their stripes. That good Spirit of God will come by. Don't you know how good it was to see that man rejoicing with his household? Yeah. To see his household getting saved. Don't you reckon maybe that man, if that was the very one that was in the vision, that God sent down there to him, come down here to help us. I believe they son Melba Pete. Right now, they ain't happy with what they got locked up in their life. They ain't happy where they're at. And I believe, whether they ever told you or not, they're praying, Lord, please come out and help us. Lord, don't just help me, help us. I believe as people want to get their life right, they want their family living right. And they've locked up a whole lot of things. But you know what? There was two, all them other things had to get locked up in that man's life before Paul and Silas ever got down there. That was the last two things. That's the last two things they locked up. And them two right there had the faith. Them two right there had the vision. Them two right there wasn't going to give up because they got shackled. Because they got put down in prison.
They some give up in this way
when they got locked up in somebody's life. All I can tell you is be that Paul and Silas doing.
Even though they got you locked out, you sing the praises of God from the deepest, darkest prisons. And you know what it'll do?
It'll shake their foundation. The door will come open in their life. Before you know it, they'll be calling for a light and they'll be springing forward. And then there'll be a rejoicing down at their house. I couldn't rejoice down in this house until I got saved. I was miserable.
But I truly believe a son that's getting ready to rejoice down at their house. I believe God's a-working.
And I believe God gives some visions to some people that ain't trying to go down towards Galatia
when that ain't where they need to be going. Now I'm going to tell you, now there's some that's turning, trying to walk the easy road right now. And they're going as far away from where God wants them to be as they can. But they some are willing to go down towards Macedonia and take some stripes, take some persecution.
I'm going to tell you, my stripes ain't going to heal nobody, though. It said by His stripes we're healed. You know the one that walked the road to Macedonia, that set the path, that set the narrow way? The one that walked the path to Calvary. It's by His stripes. Yes, we've got our own crosses to bear. We've got our own way of walking this. But He walked the road. He took these stripes for our sins. Our little bit of suffering here in this world, it ain't even worthy. It ain't even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed within us one day.
You know what's going to get revealed in us?
That our little walk nothing in comparison to what He bore. You know what He bore?
Not just the sin of one man. Not just the sin of two men, women. Not just the sin of one family. Not just the sin of 10 families. Not just the sin of 100 families. But for He bore the sins of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born. He knew. He said for us to bear our own burdens, but He also said to bear you one another's burdens. You know who bear the most burden? He did. He carried it all. But it's up to me and you to carry the load on our part. We've got some things to bear in this. We've got a few stripes to take. I love reading that about the apostles. They took them over and beat them. And they sent them out there and they said, "We don't want to hear this out of you no more." They said, "All we know to do is preach what we've seen and heard." You know what they done? They went away from our rejoicing that they'd suffered for the Lord. God help us when the Lord sends a little trial. And I trust Him. I don't like it no better than nobody else. I'm not standing up here to try to tell you I won't get weak. That's why we need one another, Isaac. That's why I need you to help stay my arm. That's why I need to stay your arm. Because we will get weak. That's why not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's why we need church. Why do you think that this world is trying to get rid of the church? Because the devil wants to cast us down into prison in people's lives. He don't want people to know they're there. That old prison guard may have thought it was all up for them. There's no devil. We need the church. And our lost people needs the church. They're not going to get saved without the preached gospel. And that wasn't the end of Paul's journeys. He had a lot more roads to walk. He had a lot more trials to face. There's a lot of you in here that's been through far more than I ever have. It's faced greater trials than I've ever been through. There's cancer survivors in here. There's people that's lost family members that's dear to your heart. There's things that's happened in this church. I can't sympathize with them. I've never been there. I've never walked that walk. But He has. But I'm going to tell you something. There's more ahead of us, y'all. There's still trials. There's still tribulations. In this world, you have tribulations. And in me, you have peace. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Every trial you'll face is already overcome. He's an overcomer. That's why we sing the victory in Jesus. Paul had some more prisons to get unlocked, didn't he? Through the Word of God and through the leadership of the Holy Ghost. There's others. And still today, these people getting saved from the gospel that the Spirit of God inspired this man to pen down for me and you. Paul was not a God, and I don't want to hold him up as one, but he was a faithful soldier for the Lord. Can I get saved through Paul? No. But I got saved through the preaching of the gospel. Same way Paul got saved. The same way that jailer got saved. Paul and Silas didn't save that man. But through their efforts and through their vision and through their willingness to rejoice in God even in the deepest, darkest prison, that had a witness in that man's life. And the Word, that light through their life had an impact on that man and his whole family. I don't know about you, but I kind of always think all the way through things when I go to think about it. And Isaac, I got to wonder. See, if all the things and all the works of God was pinned down, there wouldn't be a book that could contain it. And me, my mind, I was talking about Dan Cable the other day. You go hunting with Dan, and he'll walk you to death. He always wants to know what's on the other side of the next ridge. He always wants to know what's out there. He'll walk you to death, won't he, Aiden? When he gets you in the woods, he just keeps wanting to see what's on out there. I get that way sometimes in the Word of God. That's the way we ought to get. When we get to studying it, you get to wonder. But what else? What else? And what else? My mind got to thinking about that jailer and that family and all them that got saved right there. And I wonder how much gospel got spread through his wife, through his children, and through him. How many other lives got touched by that one man preaching the gospel? We see right now, we see people in our lives that we're burning for. And we need to keep pressing towards that mark. Keep pressing. Don't give up. When you feel locked down, you feel shut out, keep a pressing. Keep a singing. Keep a praising God. That one life is going to have an impact on another life. That life's going to have an impact on another life. And it just keeps going on. God needs to remember the message about the bread that the Lord let us preach. When God fed the multitude, do you believe? He broke off a piece and handed it to the disciple. That disciple broke off a piece and handed it to somebody else. Somebody else broke off a piece and handed it to somebody else. And the bread never ran out. They was eating when they got done. They was more fragments that they had to pick up and take back with them. And those people that picked up the fragments took it back out. This bread don't quit giving. They wasn't just 5,000 got fed there that day. That was 5,000 we got a count of. Them fragments got took home, and they's untelling how many more thousands upon thousands to eat on that bread. We see 30, 40 people sitting right here in a church that's getting fed on the gospel. But Isaac, if you take that to work with you, and you break off a little piece of God loves you, brother. Darrell, you take it over there and work, you break off a piece of Jesus loves you, brother. Mike, you go over to the gym and you give them a little bit of God loves you. There's prison doors that'll get opened that way. There's shackles that'll fall off of your life that way. That's the song and the praise of God. Obedience. In the midst of trouble and hardship. Instead of walking towards over towards Galatia, when the Holy Ghost ain't sending you there to preach, go on down to Macedonia and suffer a little bit and see that something can't come out of it. That's what the Lord sent me with tonight.